Good morning, and I hope that you are well. My name is Kathy Kayla, and this is In Your Element, where I look at organizations changing the world. We live in a country where the government has failed us in many ways, and a lot is left to privatization. One of the concerns that has been on the radar for many, many years has been food security. Food security is a fundamental aspect of sustainable development. It encompasses the reliable availability, access, and utilization of sufficient, safe, and of course nutritious food to meet the dietary needs of all the people at all times. As populations grow and climate change intensifies, ensuring that every individual has consistent access to adequate food has become an increasingly urgent global challenge. Addressing food security involves not only increasing food production, but also tackling issues such as poverty, inequality, and environmental sustainability, which makes it a complex and critical issue that affects us in many, many ways. For example, our health, our economic stability, and our social well-being worldwide. I wanted to talk about food security and the way forward. So joining me in studio this morning is Seth Morgan and Jacqueline Kohlberg, both from the Dis-Chem Foundation. And Seth is he's responsible for the hydroponic garden. Hello and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
You're very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
That's good. How are you, Jacqueline?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
All right, thank you. You look fabulous. Okay, so can we please talk about food security?
In terms of food security and the way we're going, a lot of farming as it is has become a problem just due to the over-corporatization of farming. It's become quite a corporate market, and big, strong farmers are holding the majority of farming, which is great and very good for pushing forward business, but it puts smallhold farmers on the back foot and people who are subsistence farmers on the back foot, which is creating quite a dramatic gap between rich and poor in the farming market, as well as creating quite a dramatic gap in terms of food security for people and access to food for people. So with that, the knowledge is getting stored right up at the top, and we're not trickling it down. We're not educating people on how to farm for themselves, how to become sustainable in their own way. So just talking to that, the Dis-Chem Foundation has come up with this idea of setting up hydroponics garden and educating people on how hydroponics works. And the reason that we've gone along the lines of hydroponics is because we are seeing a dramatic look for, like, people are seeking education into how to grow their own food in urban areas. The people living in rural areas do not necessarily have the problems of like lack of land or soil that is accessible to them to grow crops in. But as we get into more into the urban areas, we start to find people living in townships, people living in these urban small settlements that do not have the land value of those living on the more rural side. And this creates an even like bigger gap for those people being reliant on like big corporations for their food and no longer being able to have the knowledge to just grow food for themselves and to just support on a very small basis what they can do for themselves and cut costs, monthly costs on food. So, yeah.
I think that that's amazing. As you were speaking, so I was having this movie in my head of all picturing exactly what you're talking about. You know, the difference between being a subsistence farmer in, you know, somewhere in rural KZN versus living in a high rise in a super populated area like Hillbrow, as an example, and having a rooftop garden there where there's just not enough space to sustain any meaningful food supply. But if you go the hydroponic route, as I'm understanding it, you save a lot of space and that could actually work there.
You save a lot of space and also you're saving a lot of water. You're saving...
Ironically.
Yeah, which is, it's dramatic. We're looking at just from creating a system that captures water and holds water on a continuous basis. We're not losing any water to runoff or seepage or things like that. So what we have is we have recycled water, which saves up to 95% of the water that would go in to farming normally. So as it would happen in the rural, normal, conventional farming methods, we would water crops on a daily, and most of that, close to 75% of the water, I would say, is seeping deeper into the ground and not being accessible by the plants. So it lands up in the water table, like in the ground again, and it sort of flows away, and the farmers don't get to reuse that water, or they have to pay to reuse it, pay to pump it out of the ground. You're paying in terms of boreholes and all of those sort of things if you want to re-get that water out of the ground again. Whereas hydroponics, we capture the water, we keep it, and we're only refilling 1,000-liter tanks on our garden at the Dis-Chem head office, which is supporting about 4,080 plants. Our 1,000-liter tank we're filling every 2 weeks. So
2,000 liters a month.
2,000 liters.
Support 4,800 plants.
Yes.
What kind of plants are they? Are they like water intense plants?
Not at all. So the way the system is built is we've built a hydroponic system with towers, and we have found a way to make this more cost effective for people in the communities by using PVC pipes and finding a way to mold them very neatly so that there's no leaks in them. The problem of not buying a hydroponic system done and made in a factory is that it can be very prone to leaks. And we found a way to measure and cut holes and mold the pipes in a way where we are missing out on the leaks and we're not losing any water in the corners of the cuts and things like that. So it took a little bit of time, but we found a way to sort of where it would normally use, we would normally use money and quite a lot of investment. We've taken education and knowledge and we've put it into those small places, bridging the gap between like the very expensive methods and a more cost-effective method. And now we get to do a 30-plant tower. One tower is taking up less than half a square meter of space. We're doing four towers in one square meter. And four towers would be 120 plants grown in one square meter of ground used.
We said speaking of plants, he's actually speaking of nutritious food.
Yes, 100%. So when
we're not growing our roses.
We're not growing roses. What we are growing is you can on an ornamental level, you could definitely grow roses in the system. But because, like I was saying, is you've said that it's water loving plants, but because of the tower system coming into play, the oxygen level around the roots and the water getting fed to the roots, it's in quite a good balance.
It's wonderful if you're kosher and you don't have to clean sand off of anything.
Yes.
There's no sand. It's absolutely fantastic.
So there's no sand. We do germinate in some plant mediums like perlite, but those wash off by the time the 4 weeks have gone of our plant growing.
Is that how long it takes?
From seedling.
From seedling to?
To fully grown and ready to harvest.
It's 4 weeks.
Most of our plants are taking close to 4 weeks. Yes.
And what would the timeline normally be?
Probably double on a spinach, I would say.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about what plants you are growing, but let me just before we get to what plants you're growing in these hydroponic towers, I want to just tell you that I'm speaking to Seth Morgan and Jacqueline Kohlberg from the Dis-Chem Foundation. We're talking hydroponic gardens. We're talking about food security. Unfortunately, we aren't live today, so I can't take any of your questions, but if you do want to get involved, if you want more information, if you know of a community that is needing information or education, then I suggest that you get hold of the Dis-Chem Foundation and ask to speak to Seth. Seth, what sort of plants can you grow hydroponically that really just are the great building blocks, I suppose?
In terms of building blocks, you'd start with the easiest ones, I'm guessing. So your leafy greens are probably your easiest plants to grow.
Okay.
Just because you run a very low risk of any overwatering taking place in a lot of your leafy greens. The reason for this is because vitamin D stimulates root growth. Leafy greens have only leaves to capture that the sun rays and get in the vitamin D. So they'll replenish any roots if you are overwatering the plants. However, you should be able to do all varieties of plants in a hydroponic system. It's all about shaping and molding the hydroponic system to the plants that you want to grow. So with a tower system, when we are running the water 24 hours a day and just letting the drip irrigation drip through the towers, the leafy greens, see, and onions and things like that, see, the very vegetative plants, they seem to do very well in those systems.
Are you telling me, hold on a second here, if I grow onions at home, right, or even carrots, right, in order to know if those are done, I have to dig one up and I can't bury it again if it's not done, if it's still this tiny little thing that's the size of my baby finger.
Yes.
Right? And I can't dig it back in and expect that it's going to grow. So are you telling me that this kind of like takes all of that away?
So a root plant on a radic plant basis, we still are using wicking boxes. These wicking boxes are boxes filled with medium, plant medium.
Okay.
We water them from the bottom and let the water seep all the way to the top. So the tell signs on your carrots and things like that are normally, you have to be a bit more educated on that, knowing how far out and how many centimeters out of the soil the carrot will be showing you.
Say that I wasn't a farmer in a very nice way?
I was a little bit more politically correct about it, yes. But that's the aim of the Dis-Chem Foundation's hydroponics garden, is to get to people and say, listen, we understand that that knowledge isn't just out there. It is not just left to every single person. And we want that knowledge to be with people. We want to be able to look and say, okay, everybody that needs to be able to produce their own food, they have the knowledge on producing their own food. They're not just left out in the middle of nowhere, not knowing how to sustain themselves. So it actually was a great question and a great look at it, is because, yes, not every person is a farmer. Not every person has a green thumb, as per se.
I could be a farmer one day.
Yes. And the more we speak to people about just farming, about producing their own food, that comes up a lot, is we didn't know how much knowledge had to go into it. We thought we just had to put a seed in the ground and figure it out. And yes, that might be true for a lot of things, that we can just put a seed in the ground and let it grow. But if you want a consistent yield of food that you are more reliant on, that you're not just sort of playing a betting game, we need to empower people with knowledge and to educate them, yeah.
Chehulin Kohlberg, I'm going to bring you in here. Talk to me about why this is a project of the Dis-Chem Foundation. Why is it important to you?
So one of our main pillars is access to nutrition. And as we know, there's a devastating problem in this country with access to nutrition, albeit no person should in this country be going without food. And as Seth said, we want to empower people. You know, I'm just going to read you a little quote from Lynette. And Lynette said correctly that in South Africa, approximately 1 in 4 children go to bed hungry, highlighting the need for sustainable solutions to food insecurity. The Dis-Chem Foundation's hydroponic garden will play an important role and is playing an important role in addressing the issue by providing fresh, nutrient-rich produce to those in need. We may not be able to feed the whole of South Africa, but perhaps we could teach all our communities to feed themselves.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And it is, and it's profound. And that's why we're doing this.
So how are you doing it?
So
what's your rollout?
So as Seth said, it's very expensive. It's not such a cheap situation to build a hydroponic system. It's very expensive, actually. If you go to your local nursery and you want a hydroponic system or to a store, it's expensive. And so Seth, Mr. Ken Fairweather, JP Brand, sat down and they worked on how can we do this cost effectively. And between the three of them, they came up with this incredible system that is incredibly cost effective. That you don't have to be earning a lot of money. You can go and get a PVC pipe, a beer bottle, to make the right size. What's the word?
Molds.
The molds. And it's wonderful. I mean, we'd love to post it on, it's on our website, so you can have a look. It's on our social media platform. So you can go and have a look at what we've done and what we've achieved. And the turnaround is fantastic. And we have our beneficiary. We're supplying Hayani House in Orange Grove.
What is Hayani House?
It is a foster home for children that are placed temporarily in Mary's care until they are placed in a youth center and they're put into the system. So it's short term. So she doesn't have children for very much longer than 4 to 6 months at a time. Sure, and it's not so cheap and it's not so easy. And I know a lot of the Jewish community are fantastic with supporting Hayani House. And we do support them in more ways than one, but also with fresh produce. And what did Mary say to you recently? He said that was so beautiful. You came back, you just delivered a whole lot of
so produce to her. When we had gone to deliver some produce to Mary, I looked at her and I said, Mary, I know you're doing such like great work. Next week, there will be more. And she looked at me and she said, but this is more. And just to show the heart of these people that are giving, and this is why our heart is to give back to those people, is because it is more for them. The little bit of help where anybody can set up a hydroponics garden. And I would urge people to set up their own hydroponics gardens, even if they aren't going to produce food for themselves, to help grow and learn to do this in an urban area to help produce food for other people. I started hydroponics when I was about 17 years old. And when I started my hydroponic system, I started it with my father in our back garden. And we were growing more than our family could eat. So we were giving away. And then COVID happened and we were able to supply people that didn't have capital to buy their own food from our house. This is the heart of teaching people how to farm for themselves. This is the heart of the Dis-Chem Foundation and their pillar going forward with education in terms of food security.
And that is why Seth is a part of the Dis-Chem Foundation.
But is that what this is all about? Just giving knowledge to people outside of ourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to let Seth elaborate on what we're doing with education going forward. But what I would like to speak to is I did have the benefit of going and seeing the air hydroponic garden. And Seth's mother said, why don't you taste a strawberry? And I'm like, And my daughter had a handful of the strawberries and I heard her crunch into it and the juice running. And I was like, oh my gosh, I must taste that because I could smell the strawberry. When is the last time you smelt a strawberry?
Last time I grew them.
Right. So this strawberry, it smelt like a strawberry. I bit into it. It tasted like a strawberry and it was juicy and firm all at the same time. Now, we're not growing strawberries at the hydroponic garden at Dis-Chem. But what Seth does, and it's terrible because every time I go in there, that's what I look for, the
strawberries,
the different variants of tomatoes. So I always get it wrong because I'm not sure if we're doing Rosa or...
We're doing cherry tomatoes, Moneymaker, and Heinz brand of tomato.
Heinz have a brand of tomato?
Yes. So there is a Heinz tomato that they obviously use to make their sauces. And it is just such a lovely tomato for making. It's nice, big, juicy, and it's used to make sauces.
So how does that work with a hydroponic column? Like if it's very heavy, those tomatoes must be heavy.
So we do trellis and we trellis between the towers. Our towers are set up a meter apart from one another. So we trellis between the towers. We'll tie a rope from one tower to another and just let it grow and create a wall of growth. We also have bucket systems that we grow in so that we have a little bit more like grip on the roots going into the buckets. We trellis from the bucket systems as well.
So have you just like reinvented everything that we know and done it as you've needed to do it, like develop something from scratch rather than going with what was already in existence?
100%. We had to do that. We had to find a way to make this accessible for people.
And affordable.
And affordable, 100%. Because if we just went along with the systems that were given to us, I don't think I would have learned half the amount that I've learned of, like in terms of hydroponics. I've learned an extreme amount taking on this project, but also just looking at it as a whole, looking at hydroponics and being able to do it from scratch shows us how moldable and adjustable the system is to what you need, to the space that you have, to the product that you want to grow.
Back to my tomatoes. When I go into the gardens,
the gardening,
I go foraging.
Gardening.
Yes. I go foraging for tomatoes because they smell like tomatoes. You bite into it and they are juicy and they are delicious. I do wipe them before I put them in my mouth because there's dust. And You're eating something, you know, we go to our stores and we buy all these beautifully grown everything. But, you know it's a tomato because it says so. And there's a taste, a hint of that. It's
but they're not naturally ripened.
They're not. I don't know about that.
Except no, they're not. They're picked when they're green. They're put into the back of trucks. They're brought to the cities. And
there you go.
The last few hours, they are boosted with this gas. I can't remember what there's something, ethylene something.
Hey.
And it ripens them. An orange that you buy from a supermarket is green. It's just the outside. And you know what? When vegetables are exposed to the sun and the moon and the rain and the elements, there's an energy transfer. And that's why our food is not as nutritious as it used to be. And I think that this is different.
100%. I also think that with it ripening on the branch, there's a lot of nature comes in when you're looking at plants. And you're looking at green plants are not the ones that want to be eaten. There's a thing of the seeds in green plants are not ready to be planted just yet. They can undergo a little bit longer to get to their full maturity. And bright colors in nature, sweet smells, sweet look, this is what to attract animals to eat them so that they can scatter their seeds far and wide. So that is the benefit of coming on. Plants also have toxins in them when their fruit is not ripe enough. And those toxins are released after they're ripened, and they give you a nice margin of time to pick off and to eat them.
What about seeding? Can I talk to you about seeding? Are they natural? Because when we talk about the first time I heard the topic of food security was in relation to GMO, and big GMO companies, I'm not going to mention names here, were saying this is about food security. But really what it was doing was creating a point where the seeds for certain plants, for most of our plants, were only available from those companies, right? And GMO plants do not produce seed. So let's talk about that.
Okay, so yes and no, that GMO seeds do not, like fruits do not produce more seeds, and seeds can't be planted again. There is a huge margin of our seed that we replant, and we've bought our seeds from seed providers, as they would go. And it seems to work over the time of growing and developing. The plant, I'm sure, works itself out, even if it is GMO'd. It's the longer you grow a plant for, the more it finds its way close to its natural and like purpose as it is, and its natural state. When you first get your first or second yield, I'm sure that there's a lot of that incorporated. And I'm not against GMOs at all. I study agricultural science. I look at GMOs and I'm not against them. I do believe that at one stage there, it was a huge part and played a huge role in food security. Unfortunately, the world throws away tons and tons of food every year.
That is, the statistics for South Africa are shocking.
Shocking.
Shocking. It's so, like 45,000 tons a day or something.
Yes.
And that's just because it costs more, it costs less for the farmers to destroy the food than it does to take it to market.
100%. So this is
it's something that doesn't compute for me.
And I'm sure it doesn't compute for a lot of people, but that's the problem with having farms that are all the way out there. We have farms and they hold our majority of our food that we need to be grown, but we need to bring food production closer to the table than it has been. The food production, if it was closer to the table, we wouldn't throw away as much food as we've been throwing away.
Yeah, we've forgotten where our food comes from.
100%.
To an earlier point, nobody in this country should go without food because we have it. It's being destroyed.
I just want to remind you, if you've just joined us, my name is Kathy Kaler. My guests this morning are Seth Morgan and Jacqueline Kohlberg, who are both from the Dis-Chem Foundation. And we're talking about food security. We're talking about hydroponics. And if you would like to get in touch with Seth, then his email is seth.morgan@dischem.co.za. All right? seth.morgan@dischem.co.za. Don't send him spam. Be a quality emailer. All right. Getting back to this, can we talk about bugs?
Can talk about.
Okay. Bugs and hydroponics. What is the story? Do they get bugs?
Everywhere gets bugs. especially in an urban area, we're going to have bugs. And around vegetables, they're probably going to prefer that to our ornamental plants.
Yes, cockroaches actually live in, don't pull a face like that, Jacqueline. Cockroaches actually come from forests.
So we're quite close to that. And also, like, how, what would you rather eat, a rose or a tomato? Let's think about that.
Depends which one's got less bugs.
For you, but for a bug, you know, they would rather eat a delicious tomato than a horrible, bitter rose. There's a lot more in it. There's a lot more pheromones to be given off by the vegetables that are attracting bugs, but we can handle them organically. We grow in greenhouses, that reduces our risk of pests. We spray organic pesticides, which is canola oil base, and that would just cover the pests. Pests, most of them respirate via cutaneous respiration, which is through the skin. So when the canola oil covers those pests, they obviously are suffocated and they die. We eat canola oil. It's nothing to spray it on our plants, and it just gives us a foot, a leg up on the pests coming into our system.
Could I start a hydroponic garden at my home?
You should start
a hydroponic. Do it outside?
You can
put it outside. Do I have to have a greenhouse?
You do not have to have a greenhouse. You can set up these towers as independent standing towers and freestanding in the middle of your garden if you wanted to. You could set up DWC systems, which is a deep water culture system. You could set up NFT systems, which sit against your wall. You could have bucket systems in your house if you want. The system, as I have said before, is so moldable to what you want to produce.
So how do we move forward with this? You're listening now. You want to move forward with this. Give us some advice. Does it mean that 125,000 people listening to us right now are going to email you and say, Seth, I need help with my garden?
Please, no. Because
Jacqueline nearly fell off her
head. Out of those 125,000 people that are listening, I'm very, very, very sure that more than 75 to 80% have access to the knowledge to start hydroponics on their own. Research and education, self-education is a huge thing. You'll learn more from teaching yourself than anyone can ever teach you. And that's something I have learned by taking on the project.
So if I may say to that, so what we put in is a pilot project. It was designed by and for the Dis-Chem Foundation. It's unlike any other system per se. There's been massive learning curves, and Seth's passion and his integrity, he pivots. If we're hit with that, he finds out how to fix it. If he sees this isn't working as well as that should be working, he just pivots. He just makes it work. He's got a fantastic team with him, Elizabeth. The Dis-Chem Foundation team is small, but it works, and it works very, very well. And I just have to say, he built the sweetest little hydroponic wicking system that he's put something in too.
That's put marigolds and spigworm
in the office. So it's just a sweet, tiny little thing that he's made. I mean, it's anybody can do it, and you could grow basil or something in your windowsill in this tiny, neat, cute little system that is not just producing something for you to use, but it's ornamental. It's lovely.
That is a fantastic idea. Okay, so food security, you've got the rollout. Where are you rolling this out, Jacqueline?
So now we're starting with schools. Yes. Seth is busy with schools and reaching out, and we're happy for any of the schools to reach out to us that are interested. And we're happy for children of all ages to come through, not all at the same time. And Seth does a wonderful tuitional program on the hydroponics, on the building of systems, what to do, how to do it. And they're going to taste fresh, delicious fruits and vegetables. And the kids go away very happy.
That is such a wonderful idea, especially where so many schools, those children get their one main meal a day.
At school.
At school. So let it be nutritious, you know.
And I tell you, a lot of our schools are interested. The children that are involved with the CSRs, with the schools, are wanting to put hydroponic systems into the schools so that they can then harvest the produce
and take
to a sister school that does only get their meal through the meal grant at their school a day. So it's a special thing all around. It's a lot of good work.
And that also just speaks to not only doing hydroponics or growing food for yourself. There is a huge scope in growing food for others. And it gives you such a sense of well-being and such a sense of pride when you're able to produce something and now you're able to give it away because you have excess.
Even producing your own food to eat.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It is. There's such a big win in yourself that you can go into your garden and pick a couple things and say, oh, look what we've done. Look what we've waited for. The patience that you learn. And just from an educational point, like hydroponics, when taught well, I was speaking to one of the teachers from Crawford International, Santon, and she highlighted to me that it covers 11 of their subjects in school, learning about hydroponics. It in some way touches on 11 of their subjects, which is huge because there's maths involved, there's science involved, there's life science involved. There's life orientation just from learning about who you are in a garden, in nature, in things like that.
And your role in the world.
100%. And what you can do. And then you start to have all these other great ideas. The pivoting that Jacqueline mentioned about me doing earlier, it came from being allowed to be creative in a space that was, it's no longer normal to the person to be in a wild environment. We're so stuck behind our devices. We're so stuck into anything that makes us comfortable and away from the world. Instead of being in the world, connecting with it and really making a difference from the natural point of view. We all want to say nice things to each other on social media, but we don't want to do good things with
depends
one another.
On social media.
Or at least we want to hear nice things about ourselves on social media.
Again.
Yeah.
Depends. Okay, so just to be absolutely clear, because you never know, somebody might have a question about this. You're doing this as the Dis-Chem Foundation to provide the knowledge, the hydroponic models, the information, the hardware, the everything to certain gardens. This is not a profit for profit. You're not?
Not at all.
Dis-Chem Foundation is not going to be competing with any grocery stores selling vegetables. I'm just putting it out there.
Absolutely not.
Awesome. So if you would like to support the Dis-Chem Foundation, you really should. And how do you do that? Well, go shopping at Dis-Chem. Make sure that you have your Dis-Chem card and that you swipe it at the till. Because when you swipe it from the till, a percentage of... Oh, and it's also Baby City?
Yes, it's at our Dis-Chem stores and our Dis-Chem Baby Cities. Every swipe.
Love it. We love it. Right. Go and swipe your card and a percentage of whatever you spend at Dis-Chem or at Dis-Chem Baby City is going to go to the Dis-Chem Foundation. You can also donate your accumulated points. Well, they're not points. It's your rands that you accumulate on your Dis-Chem card and go and do that because you know what? It is going to be rands well spent. Jacqueline Carlberg, head of the Dis-Chem Foundation, and Seth Morgan, who is in charge, who's responsible for the hydroponic garden at the Dis-Chem Foundation. Thank you both very, very much for coming into studio. It is always a pleasure to speak to you, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
And just keep up the good work. I'm so, so proud of you. And onwards and upwards, Seth.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And to you, I will be back next week. Be good to yourself, be good to the world, and stay safe. God bless. Bye-bye.